mouth. Fireworks explode in my head. Ice-cold terror claws at my gut. Fragments of thoughts, thousands and thousands of them, shatter in my brain. The main one being, I am going to die. I am going to die. I brace myself, ready for the pain, for the terror, and for the endless blackness to enfold itself around me. The night had been warm, the road silent, before I was ripped from my safe, comfortable life. I was relaxed, trusting of my environment. Too trusting. And now here I am, waiting for the moment when this person will end me. He peers in as I am bundled into the boot of a car, his eyes as black as coal, his gaze roving over me. A predator sizing up their prey before they strike. I swallow down bile, hot and sour. It scorches my gullet. Then the boot is slammed shut, the dull thud of its closure merging with my screams. I kick and shriek. I claw and push and twist and turn in the darkness, in the horribly confined space, hoping somebody will hear me. Nobody comes. I am alone. And the only thing I can think of as the engine kicks in and we begin to move is this. When the moment comes, please make it painless. And please make it quick.
Chapter 1. Helena. The room spins. A wave of dizziness forces her upright, the wooziness in her head a swirling kaleidoscope of muted colours. Helena shivers. The shrill core of the phone has cut through the deepest of sleeps, the coarse interruption a bludgeon to her skull. She was dreaming about her mother, her absent mother, physically present but emotionally lacking, absent in matters of the heart for as long as Helena can remember. She has always vowed to be a better mother to her own daughters, to be there, do what she can for them, be a competent parent and give them some stability, even through the most torrid of times. And they were torrid, still are on occasion. An ache spears the back of her head as she slides down beneath the sheets to stave off the chill of the unheated room. Her fingers tremble when she reaches for the phone, her gaze drawn to the clock on the bedside cabinet. She tries not to look, but the glare of the luminous digits pierces the room. 12:30 a.m. A call out from her daughter. Either that or somebody has died. Nails scratch at the plastic as her fingers scramble to pick up the receiver. Her tone is husky when she presses the button and speaks.
Hello? Vanessa?
The sound of anybody else's voice would curdle her blood, send her into a tailspin. It's late, or early, depending on how you view it, and calls at this hour are a precursor to bad news, accidents, deaths, all manner of life-changing, heart-stopping pieces of information.
Sorry, Mom. Just got the call for work. They need me at the care home. I have to go.
Her daughter sounds alert, as if she has been up for hours, not groggy like Helena, not tired and dizzy and longing to slide down under the duvet and go back to sleep. Vanessa is up and eager, prepared and ready to do what needs to be done. At any other time, she would brim with pride at her daughter's professionalism and loyalty, but not at 12:30 a.m., Exhaustion has obliterated all positive thoughts, its sharp claws digging into her flesh and touching bone. With cold, tight fists, Helena rubs at her eyes, trying to shake off the heavy mantle of sleep that has enveloped her for the past few hours.
Give me 10 minutes and I'll be on my way.
Senses still dulled, vision blurry, she stumbles around the bedroom, grabbing at clothes, throwing overnight items into a bag. A pounding sensation beats hard at her temples. She wouldn't have thought it possible to sink into such a deep slumber after only 2 hours in bed, but